Whoever coined that phrase, people are funny, they were right. We'll walk up to a monkey cage and laugh at the monkeys, and I'd imagine if you knew how they laughed, that they're laughing at us. You can be mowing your lawn at 12 o'clock in the day, the sweat rolling down your face, and your neighbor will amble over and you'll cut the motor off because he's your neighbor, and he'll say, "What are you doing?" The lady will say, "If I can just get away on a vacation, get away from everybody and everything." Well, you finally get away. The first night in the motel, you'll go through the lobby and pick up a dozen postcards. Go to your room that night and address one dozen cards to one dozen friends. Having a good time. Wish you were here. So strange. So strange. I walked in the post office early one morning, dressed up, best clothes I had. A fellow said, "Where are you going today?" I said, "I have a funeral." He said, "Did somebody die?" Listen, folks are stupid. That's right. They're stupid as they can be. Well, I've learned a long time ago that there are two ways that you can approach people. You can walk up to the ugliest girl in California and say, "You are so ugly," until your face will stop the clock. Man, she slapped you. No doubt she slapped you. Now, that is stupidity. Walk up to the same girl and say, "When I gaze in your face, time stands still." Now, that's diplomacy. That's right. That's diplomacy. Means the same thing. And people are so funny. They're so funny. They say, "What in the world makes you people act like you act? If I ever get the Holy Ghost, I won't ever act like that. You'll act worse than we do." There was a lady in a church that shouted on one foot. That was her way of shouting. And she spun like a top on one foot. One of these high-powered ladies sitting back, she looked over her glasses. She said, "If I ever get in that church, I won't ever act like that." Well, one night the preacher plowed her new ground and dug her up. Preached Jesus to her. She got up, came to the altar, and got the Holy Ghost. And when she came to herself, she was going around on one foot just as hard as she could go. Oh, brother, give him the Holy Ghost tonight. Thank God. Give me the old-time Holy Ghost and fire. Praise God. That'll let you uplift Jesus. I preach him because he's my Savior. Hallelujah. I preach him because he can deliver from sin, dig you out of a pit, and put your feet up on a solid rock. I'm not through yet. Then there's other reasons why I preach it. I preach him because of what he is and who he is. I went to Tampa, Florida one time years ago to hold a tent meeting. And when a lot of my preacher friends said, "You'll never do nothing in Tampa," said, "Everybody in Tampa will be against you because of what we preach." Well, I said, "Praise God, I'll be against everybody in Tampa." And I went, put up my tent right by the side of the church. And we didn't get it up in time to have church in that night, so we had services in the church. And I don't know, somewhere in the sermon, I quoted Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And I saw a lady get a hold of a little girl and shake her on the shoulder. And brother, that woman bounced out of that church like a rubber ball. And when she got to the door, she opened it with all the noise she could. And when she went out, she slammed the door real hard, you know. But that never bothered me. I just kept on the preaching. And after church, somebody said, "Did you see that woman go out of church tonight?" I said, "I saw her go out, and I heard her when she went out." "Why," they said, "that is a Trinity preacher." Well, I said, "No wonder she left." And a lady sitting behind her said, "That was her granddaughter. And when you quoted Acts 4 and 12, she got that granddaughter by the shoulder and said, "Let's get out of here. He's already started his Jesus name doctrine." But strange, she never had any effect on the meeting. I started in the tent the next night. I didn't see her. I stayed about 6 weeks. Way long toward the last of the meeting, she came out on a Sunday morning and sat on the back seat. And when I got through preaching, she walked up to the front. Same preaching woman. She looked up at me. She never said, "Good morning." She didn't say, "How are you?" She said, "I don't believe what you preach." Well, I said, "What do you believe?" She told me. Well, I said, "The Lord knows I don't believe what you preach either." I said, "We even to start with." I said, "You don't believe me, and I sure don't believe you." And I've learned a long time ago to never argue with a woman unless you're arguing about the Bible. Because they argue like they drive a car. Stick their hand out. You don't know what that means. You don't know if they're going to stop, going to the left, going to the right, or just letting that fingernail polish dry. You don't know what that means. And we started the conversation. And she said, "Now, I don't believe what you believe." And round we headed. And I quoted her scripture, John chapter 3, verse 13. Jesus talking, his feet on the earth. He said, "No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." She said, "That's not in the Bible." I said, "It is." "Oh," she said, "it's not in the Bible." Man, she began to get feisty right quick, like, you know. Her temper was coming up. She said, "That's not in the Bible." I said, "It is." She said, "Show it to me." Well, I took the Bible and read it to her. Well, she said, "It sure is, isn't it?" I said, "It sure is." Then Sunday night, she came back. She sat on the back seat. And that was the last week of the meeting. So every night, she got a little closer, a little closer, and a little closer. So that Sunday morning, in the services, she's right up on the front. She never said a word about being baptized. Not a word about being baptized in Jesus' name. Not a word. Now, I said, "This afternoon, we're going to have our baptizing out here in a river." And I said, "I want everybody to come to the baptizing." I said, "We got a whole lot of people to baptize." And I had a loudspeaker that you could put on top of your car, and you could hook it up to a car battery. And I got out there early, and I got me a good spot under an oak tree, you know, the little scrubby oaks, a lot of sand. And so I played a record or two, and we got started. I never preached so hard, and I was preaching to that woman. Warren told me not long ago in church, he said, "You preach to me." I said, "Who else do you think I was preaching to?" I said, "I wasn't preaching to folks in Arkansas, I was preaching to you." And I will admit that I preached to that woman. I preached as hard as I could preach. I preached Luke 24, 45, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Acts 2, 38, Acts 8, 14 to 17, Acts 10, 44 to 48, Acts 19, 1 to 6. And the more I preached, the deeper in the sand I got, and I got sand in my shoes, but I just kept preaching. And I said, "Everybody's going to be baptized, line up." And I was watching that woman. She dressed in the best clothes she had. I saw her when she reached down and she got this shoe. She threw it over here. I said, "Praise God." Hallelujah. She reached down and she got this shoe. She threw it over here. I said, "Praise God." I stepped over to the pastor. I said, "That woman's going to be baptized." Now I said, "You put her so deep under until you get mud on her back." Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, let me tell you, when you get a revelation of Jesus Christ, you have the revelation of the true God in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to give you more scripture in the next 3 minutes. And if you go to some of these churches scattered out down through the countryside, more scripture than you'd hear in 6 months. You listen to me. Proverbs 18 and 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Proverbs 30 and 4. Who hath ascended? Who hath descended? Who's bound the waters in a garment? Are gathered the wind in his fist. What is his name? And what is his son's name? If thou canst tell,
John 5:43, I am coming in my Father's name, and you receive me not. But if another will come in his own name, him you will receive. Matthew 1:21, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. 2 Samuel 22:32, who is the Lord save God? Jeremiah 10:10, the Lord is the true God and everlasting King. Hallelujah. That's why I preach him. Praise God, because he is the everlasting King. Excellent. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, let me reason with you a minute. If the Lord is God, and the God of eternity is the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, there's one Lord. Let me go back over it again. If the Lord is God, and the God of eternity is the Lord, if there is not but one Lord, if I can prove who that one Lord is, I'm going to know who the true God is. I'm going to know who the everlasting King is. I'm going to know who is the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Hallelujah. That's why I preach him tonight. Glory. Now, the Lord is God, the God of eternity is the Lord, and there's not but one Lord. Well, now, Acts 95, now let's find out who the true God is. Now, listen, whatever this Bible says, that's it. One fellow one time, he governed his life. You know, strange, you know, people are strange. They'll eat a whole bowl of baked beans and a plate full of mashed potatoes and go to bed and have nightmares all night long. And then get up and tell somebody what God showed him in a dream. When there wasn't a thing in the world but a bean dream to start with, that's all it was. This fellow said, I'm going to find out now the will of God. He said, I'm going to close my Bible, close my eyes, then open the Bible, and put my finger on the verse, and then open my eyes. And then what that verse says, that's what I'm supposed to do. You better watch that.
That's right.
So he closed his Bible. And he opened it, put his finger on the verse, and opened his eyes, said, Judas went and hanged himself. No, that's not what I wanted. It wasn't. Well, he said, I'll try it one more time. Tried it again. Go thou and do likewise. Let me tell you, that kind of stuff don't make common nonsense.
No.
What you ought to do is to take the Bible. I met a person so mad one time, they wanted to whip me. If God ever shows me to be baptized in Jesus' name, I will. And all I said was, can you read? Man, I should not have said that. They said, I want you and everybody else to know I can read. Well, I said, go home and take your Bible and sit down and be calm about it and read Acts chapter 19, the first 6 verses, and the Lord will show you. The man said, I'll try it now for the third time, and this ought to be the charm. He said, what thou doest must be done quickly. Acts 95. Now, I get excited when I preach, and I can't help it, and I'm not ashamed of it.
Hallelujah.
I run around, I scream, and I holler. I've still got my tonsillitis, I've still got my appendicitis. Never lost none of it. And a man told me years ago, he said, if you don't quit preaching like that, you're going to die. And Lord have mercy, that man's been dead for years, and I'm still a shotgun of preaching. Hallelujah.
All right.
Thank God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, the Lord is God, Brother Gray. And the Lord is God, the God is the Lord, and there's only one Lord. Now, if I can find out who that one Lord is, I'm going to know his identity. This is why I preach him.
Yes.
I'm not preaching a dream. No. I'm preaching a reality.
Yes.
I'm not preaching what somebody said God showed them, but I'm preaching from that inspired Word of God that was given by the unction of the Holy Ghost. Acts 95, notice. And he said, now this is Saul when God
knocked him down into the dirt. That's what a lot of folks need, is a tap on the head. A fella had just got the Holy Ghost and there was no Pentecostal church around close, so he went to another church. Sat down on Sunday morning, the preacher said something he liked. He said, "Amen." Usher tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Sir, we don't have that here." Well, the usher disappeared, so the man sitting there, and the preacher said something else he liked. He said, "Hallelujah!" There was two ushers appeared. Got him by the arms, and they led him out in the vestibule. And one usher said, "What's the matter with you?" He said, "I'm happy." The other usher said, "I know what your trouble is." He said, "You're half cracked." The fellow said, "Praise God, that's where the light got in." That's where the light got in. That's what helped us all. That's what helped us all. And the other usher said, "Now you tell me really what's the matter with you." "Well," he said, "I got religion." The other usher said, "Well, you didn't get it here. You ought to be glad where you are tonight, sitting in this auditorium, beautiful spirit, worshiping God. Have the truth, have the revelation of God."
Hallelujah.
Now notice what he said.
And he said,
"Who art thou, Lord?
Who art thou, Lord?
And
who art thou, Lord?"
And
addressed directly to heaven. Paul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And what happened?
And the Lord said.
Who did?
The Lord said.
Who said?
The Lord said.
No,
Jesus.
No, wait. The family in heaven said.
They said.
No, the Lord said. The Lord said. Hallelujah. The Lord said. And whatever the Lord said, that's good enough for me. Whatever the Lord said. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
That's why I preach him. He's God. He's God Almighty. He's the first, the last, the beginning, the end, the Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah! That's him. Praise God. That's him. Glory! God. The Lord is the everlasting King. The Lord is the true God. And the Lord said, "I am Jesus. I am Jesus. I am Jesus. I am Jesus." And the Lord said, "I am Jesus. That's enough for me." You can't knock this out of me with a 10-foot fence rail. Hallelujah. The devil tried it. There was a very prominent preacher. I wouldn't dare tell you who it was. Sent me word, said, "You tell Brother Gamblin, if you get off of his doctrine and get in the middle of the road, he'll come out much better." I sent him word back. I said, "The middle of the road is where you have your wrecks." I said, "I'm not going to drive down the middle of the road. Some woman will run into you just as sure as the world. I don't intend to do it. Brother, I'm on the right side tonight. I've chosen my side. Hallelujah. I know where I'm going. I know what I preach. Praise God. I know what I preach. I learned it on my knees with my head stuck in that old book. Hallelujah. And I got a revelation. You know, in my day, we never had no help. We never had any Bible schools. We had no Sunday schools. We had no young people services. We had nothing. We absolutely had nothing. It was rough all the way through. Rough all the way through. Preached on street corners in deserted schoolhouses, standing out under brush arbors, under shade trees with an old Coleman lantern Preach them the gospel. Preach them the gospel. I came up the hard way. I'm not ashamed of it tonight. I don't apologize for what I preach. This, my friend, is going to take this church out of this world. Praise God. Praise God. It's going to take this church out of this world. Hallelujah. And we're going home to be with Him. Hallelujah. Now, if y'all are through, I'll quit. But I'd like you to hear one more reason why I preach Jesus. Now, I think you pretty well understand why I preach Him, don't you? If you don't, you come back tomorrow night and I'll finish it up. Hallelujah. Man, am I ever preaching tonight. Thank God. I never was so happy, listen, I never was so happy. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Glory. Hallelujah. Give me John chapter 6, verse 26. I just want to give you one more reason why I preach Jesus. And this has been in the Bible all the time. You know, I was preaching in a tent meeting years ago. And we had a great time. In that meeting, I baptized 7 preachers. And when I baptize preachers, I hold them under a little longer than I do anybody else. I want it to soak in.
Yeah.
And a preacher walked up to me one night. He said, I've heard you preach in this tent. He said, I've been outside here. Well, I said, I hadn't seen you inside. Well, he said, I was outside listening. He said, in the Bible, well, the word Lord is in small letters. That's Jesus because He's the little Lord. Man, I knew I had Him hooked right there. That's right. Hallelujah. He said, Jesus is the little Lord. But now He said, where the word Lord is spelled out in chapter letters, that means God, who is the Lord Almighty. And He said, that's not in the Bible. I said, oh, yes, it is. He said, no, it's not there. He said, if you'll read it to me, he said, I'll let you baptize me. I said, did you bring a change of clothes tonight? Because I'll put you under tonight. But he said, show it to me. Well, I started reading Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. This is when Christ comes back to fight the battle of Armageddon. And I saw heaven open and behold a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes was a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. And it had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress in the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Verse number 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his side a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And every bit of that is in chapter letters. He's not the little Lord. He's not one of the Lords, but He is the Lord. He is the Lord. Hallelujah. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When He comes again, He'll not come back to be crucified and to suffer. He'll not come back with a crown of thorns up on His brow, but He's coming back with a diadem of glory. Hallelujah. His name is called the Word of God because He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, here's another reason why I preach it. John 6, 26, read.
Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily.
Verily, verily.
I say unto you.
I say unto you.
You seek me.
You seek me.
Not because you saw the miracles.
Not because you saw the miracles.
But because you did eat of the loaves.
Because you did eat of the loaves.
And were filled.
And were filled. Now you notice this. Christ had fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now they had the stomachs full and now they came to Jesus and was talking to Him. See, Jesus did this for a purpose. He turned the water into wine. I really believe He turned the water to wine.
Yeah.
He did it for a purpose. He did it to teach the doctrine of transformation. If He can turn water to wine, He can take a sinner and turn him into a saint.
All right. Yeah.
A fellow hadn't had the Holy Ghost long, and one of these real smart men, you know, that read a lot, walked up to him one day and said, "I understand that you are a believer in God." He said, "Do you believe that what you read in the Bible about where Moses led the children of Israel through the Red Sea?" Oh, the man said, "Yes, I believe that." "Well," he said, "we have searched that out and discovered that where Moses led the children of Israel, it was marshy land. The water was about ankle deep." And the fellow shouted. Well, the man said, "What are you shouting about? I've just exploded the myth. Never went through the Red Sea. They went through the marshy land. The water was about ankle deep." The fellow said, "Praise God. The Bible said that God drowned the army of the Egyptians and said if God could drown an army in water that was no more than ankle deep, he's a bigger God than I thought he was." He fed 5,000 men, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes to get an opportunity to preach to them. And here's what he preached. Now you stay with me another 40, 45 minutes, will you? Come on, notice now.
"Labor not."
Now he said, "Labor not.
For the meat which perisheth."
Now what were they full of? Fish. When Jesus stood on the shore one morning and after the disciples had fished all night and hadn't caught anything, he said, "Children, do you have any meat?" Do you think they were out there fishing for pork chops? They were fishing for fish. That's right, fish. Now then Jesus said, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth." Read on.
"But for that meat which endureth."
"But for that meat which endureth."
"Unto everlasting life."
"Unto everlasting life." Come on.
"Which the Son of Man
which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Read on.
"Then said they unto him."
"Then said they unto him."
"What shall we do?"
"What shall we do?"
"That we might work the
works
of God."
"That we might work the works of God."
Jesus answered.
Jesus answered
and said unto them, "This is the work of God."
"This is the work of God."
"That you believe on him."
"That you believe on him."
"Whom he has sent."
"Whom he has sent." That's the work of God. Read on.
"They said therefore unto
they
him."
"They said therefore unto him."
"What sign showest
what
thou
What sign
then?
Showest thou then?"
"That we may see."
"That we may see."
"And believe thee."
"And believe thee."
"What dost thou work?"
"What dost thou work?"
"Our fathers did eat manna in the desert."
Now then he changed his assumption. "Our father did eat manna in the desert."
"As it is written."
"As it is written."
"He gave them bread from heaven to eat."
"He gave them bread from heaven to eat."
"Then Jesus said unto them."
"Then Jesus said unto them."
"Verily, verily, I say unto you."
"Verily, verily, I say unto you."
"Moses gave you not that bread from heaven."
"Moses gave you not that bread from heaven."
"But my father giveth you the true bread."
"Giveth you the true bread
from heaven."
"From heaven." Hallelujah. He was talking about meat. Now he's talking about bread. "My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." Now come on.
"For the bread of God."
"For the bread of God."
"He which cometh down from heaven."
No, the bread of God is Moses.
No, the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven.
Malachi.
No.
Isaiah.
No, the bread that cometh down from heaven.
Oh, well, now that's right. The bread of God that cometh down from heaven. Come on.
"And giveth life."
"And giveth life."
"Unto the world."
"Unto the world." Now what did they say?
"Then said they unto him."
"Then said they unto him."
"Lord."
"Lord."
"Evermore give
evermore us. Evermore give us of this bread. Or if they could just eat a loaf of bread and never die, oh, they'd be so happy." And they all got in unison then. Yeah. Everybody got in unity. Yeah. "Lord, evermore give us of this bread." But what a shock they received in the next verse.
"And Jesus said unto them."
"And Jesus said unto them."
I am that bread of
life. I am that bread. I preach him because he's my meat that he endures to everlasting life. He's the bread of God that has come down from heaven to give life to the world."
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah!
Jesus.
Now this next phrase has been in the Bible all the time and a lot of folks never seen it. Now, sure enough, this ought to make you shout. I'm going to climax this tonight. I've preached it. I've seen it. A lot of folks, they read the Bible, just read God over it and never noticed what he said. He talked about meat. He talked about bread. Then he said,
He that cometh to me, shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me, shall never thirst.
There's the meat, the bread, the water. You let a man try to work 5 days out of the week eating banana pudding, and he'll faint on the job. You give him the three elements of life, meat, bread, and water, he can work. He can dig a ditch. I guess we got a courthouse here. He can dig a ditch all the way from this auditorium to the courthouse if you give him meat, bread, and water. Listen, you can't feed a church on banana pudding, on Jell-O, and get by with it. You've got to dish out some meat. You've got to dish out some bread. I dedicate this to the preachers. You know, when everything's going well, my church is really on the move. On a Sunday night, you'll have a big time, 5 or 6 get the Holy Ghost, baptized, 6 or 7. Go to a fellowship meeting on Monday night, you can't hardly wait till somebody asks you, how's your church doing? And if they don't ask you, you'll just walk up and say, hey, you ought to have been in my church Sunday night. My church. But you let something go wrong in that church. Then that preacher hunts in my prayer closet. Now, God, this is your church. Well, it was his church all the time. It's his church. He feeds this church. He wants it after this church. Hallelujah. We have the meat, the bread, and the water. Hallelujah. They that are hungry can come. They that are thirsty can come. You give an old saint of God meat, bread, and water that can withstand the wiles of the devil. That can withstand the temptations. They can walk through the world and it never rubs off on them. Hallelujah. Because they've got something on the inside that has come down from God out of heaven. Hallelujah. And it's just as real as it ever was. You didn't think I'd find it in that chapter, did you? But I did. If Jesus can be meat, bread, and water, and still be Jesus, He can be Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and still be Jesus. Hallelujah! He's the meat! He's the bread! He's the water! Hallelujah! Let's stand and lift our hands.